How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, especially if you are somebody who is really not interested in business or really have the entrepreneurial mindset, not really into investments. Some of you guys email me saying, I'm not interested in any of that, but I still enjoy the show. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening or watching, whatever you prefer. If you do want to watch the show, we have our show on YouTube, How to Build a Tent. You can find us on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent as well. We live stream on Facebook, YouTube. No, we don't live stream on YouTube. We just post it on YouTube. Facebook, Twitter, Periscope. You can check that out, 12 p.m. Pacific. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field. You'll get a sweet mug just like the one I'm drinking out of right now. You also get a bunch of other great benefits. You will be so blessed. And most of all, you come alongside of us as we are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. And you get to be part of what the Lord is doing. And that's just a great thing. Whenever I have an opportunity to be part of what God is doing, where God is blessing, I want to get in on that because there is nothing sweeter than the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Today, I want to talk about buying homes. I've been getting some emails about, is this the time that we should be buying a home? And we've already talked about in a previous episode some things that I look at and some things to consider when buying a home. I'll put that episode in the show notes if you missed it. I'm going to talk about some more things that I kind of look at to know if this is the right time or not. And we'll definitely get into that. Before we do, just want to remind you that business plan contest is coming up. The deadline's coming up into March. Don't be working on this for the last several months and get it into me late because it will not count. I am having a hard, fast rule. It's not fair to those who have submitted business plans already that yours should be counted if they got it in before the deadline and you didn't. So please don't do that. And if you do finish it, but it's not sent to me in time and you still want my feedback, I'd be more than happy to do that. You just will not get the grand prize. That's an interview with me where you get free advertising and a swag bag full of HTBT stuff. Okay, so let's get into the home buying question again. And this is a really great topic to continue to discuss because it really is such a big financial investment. It's a long-term commitment. There's not that many things that you're going to buy in your life that requires a 15-year, 30-year contract. That's basically what it is. You're entering an obligation. You're entering a debt to pay over a term. The amount of however much you're buying the house for with some interest, unless you're buying in cash and you're like a big baller. And it's a big deal. So we should be talking about it a lot because it's going to be playing into your finances and your personal finances. And if you're doing this for investment, it can play into that as well. I don't want to talk about the investment side of it right now. There are a lot of great resources on that. Maybe we'll get into that later. But I'll say this about investing. I wasn't planning on this, but I'll do it anyways. If you want to invest in homes and have a second home, a third home, and then buy like rental properties or, you know, townhomes or whatever you are going to do to invest, you need to have a strategy. You need to have a business plan, really. You need to be able to think through a strategy that you're going to execute. You're going to need to do research. You're going to want to talk to industry experts. And you're going to want to pay more and more attention to timing, interest rates, and comparables or comps, as they call them, the fancy way of saying comparables in the industry, and seeing not only how much is properties that you're looking to buy compared to other properties in the area with the same comparable data and attributes, but also how much is the rent, how much can you get in return, and all of those things. But today, I want to go back to just talking about, for those of you thinking of buying a home for the first time, or maybe you don't have a home, you're going back to renting and you're thinking about buying a home again. Maybe you're still scarred from the big 2008 crash where you lost everything. I think I said this in the last episode, we talked about homes, that there were people that we knew that had like three homes and they like were just taking a second and a third. That is, you have one loan for your house, the first loan to buy the house, and then you build up equity or the house appreciates so much you have equity. And you take out a second off of that and then a third, and just housing prices were going up so high that you were able to like keep refinancing, taking money out, borrowing more money, and so forth. buying another home with that, and then buying another home, buying boats, buying a bit, you know, river houses, all that stuff, and then they just lost it all. It was like just stepping back and realizing like what was going on. There's no way that that was going to end well, but you might be still scarred from that. And I will just say this, as far as timing goes, that if you are just looking to buy a house for you and your family, it's not an investment. It's you're just looking to buy a place for you guys to live for the long term. It's not going to be what, now people do say that like, oh, it's an investment. It's the biggest investment of your life. And I just don't really see your first home when you're just thinking of buying a home versus renting as an investment. I think it is a financial decision and it could make you wealthier to buy a house. And we'll get into some reasons why I think that in a second, but I just treat it differently than an investment, especially when you have the Christian mindset. Because you want to do first what God wants you to do. And a home gives you a lot of flexibility or not having flexibility. And it gives you a lot of abilities. Apartments may not, a smaller house may not, that you may want to consider when purchasing a home, how close you are to your church. Like, that's a big deal. How much room is there for entertainment if you have the gift of hospitality? How close are you to your family if you are called to be ministering to your family and you want to be with them? Like, these are a lot of different things that go into buying a house that I think when you just label it as an investment and think of it strictly from a financial perspective is not the right thing to do. Also, I know that there's some conservative, good, smarter people than me that say if you can't do a 15-year loan that you shouldn't do it. I'm of the mindset, and maybe I'm a little more liberal on this, that 15-year is be great, but like really, it's really hard to be able to afford a 15-year on a normal salary, an average salary around the country. And I think that you'll be missing out on home ownership if you can afford it in all the other ways. And a 30-year fixed rate is not the end of the world. You're going to pay more in interest than a 15-year. You're paying for those extra 15 years, but the payment is going to be more manageable month to month because you want to get that payment down into that 30% of your income. Typically, depending on where you are in your life, again, that completely can change. That's just a good rule of thumb. 30% of your income should be going towards your house, no more. You're going to become house poor. And even if you make a good financial decision as far as, hey, I'm not renting, so I'm not throwing away my rent every month, but I'm actually putting it towards my principal. But if you're living outside of your means and you become miserable and you have to go out and buy more things to be happy and you have to do more maintenance that you really couldn't afford, all of those things can really make a good decision, quote unquote, a really bad decision. So make sure that you've really thought through all of the different variables and how much you can really afford, and don't go beyond your means. It's never a good decision to go beyond your means. If you can't live in a house that you can afford comfortably under that 30% a month threshold of what you make, then you shouldn't be buying a house. You should continue renting. You should be bunking up, whatever you're doing in your situation. Don't overextend yourself with your house, because like we said, this is a contract. This is, you're entering into a debt payment for a long extended period of time. You don't want to be strung. You don't want to be stressed out about money for 15 years, 30 years. You just don't want to be in that situation. Trust me, you will regret it. Make sure you are wise with your money. You have all your finances in order. And you can make the best decision that you can make. I'd really suggest making sure you're out of credit card debt before you're putting down a down payment. Make sure that you have a safety net of 3 months of living expenses and then build on that down payment. It's really important to have a down payment. You don't want to have PMI, which is it's insurance that you're not going to default to the lender. It's an extra fee that you'll have to pay. You don't want to pay that either. And there's just a lot of great tools and a lot of things to consider. So I've already talked about, again, a lot of the tools that I think of and a lot of things I think about in another episode I did. I'll put that in the show notes. But I want to just kind of go through some more tools, and we're going to look at my computer that I'm going to fire up right now. So this would be a really good show for you to watch. But if you don't want to watch, I'll put these, what I'm going to go through, on the show notes as well, so you can just click on the links and check them out later if you want. Now, the first thing I get is like, oh, the rates, like, how are rates? Is this a good time to buy because of rates? And you can look at just your mortgage rates, depending on where you go to get your money, to borrow your money from, what lender you choose, your rates are going to be different. You need to make sure that you understand all of the different things that go into a rate. The rate that is quoted on the website before you put in your information is not the rate you're going to get, because it depends on where you live. It depends on your credit score. It depends on a whole bunch of factors that you need to give to a lender to give you an accurate rate. But this can give you a good guideline of where we're at. And you can see what I'm showing you right now. In the end of March, it's kind of been going up and down around the 4.5, 4.25%, which is not that bad. It's not bad of a rate. I don't think you're gonna get killed if you see this chart and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so volatile. How do I make sure that I get the lowest interest rate? Again, we're not talking about an investment. We're talking about buying the home that you feel that is a place that God's called you to, that's gonna be a perfect fit for your family. I don't think a quarter point up or down is going to really break you. It shouldn't. It shouldn't be the thing that like determines if you're gonna be living a happy life and you're gonna be financially solvent. So the next tab, So I just wanna throw this out here. I have Navy Federal Credit Union. This is a great option. I find that they have a lot of great rates. If you have been serving in the Army or any of the military or veteran, or you have a family member, you can take advantage of Navy Federal Credit Union. I'd really recommend it. They have a lot of great options you can check out. They also have really great rates. I'm going to scroll down and you can see the different rates they have. You notice that a 30-year conforming versus a 15-year conforming, you go over here and you look at the interest rate, that it's a little bit more. It's a 3.895 for a 30-year versus a 3.469. So you are paying for that extra 15 years, but like honestly, like 0.4%. If I'm gonna have a more comfortable living, if I'm gonna be able to live in a house where I feel like I can provide for my family, that my kids are gonna have a better quality of life, that I'm gonna be able to be more hospitable, like the 30-year is not like a bad financial decision in my opinion. And we'll get into in a second like what I mean by that. And so just wanted a quick little advertisement. They're not a paid sponsor of the show. They didn't know I'm doing this. This is just my personal experience. This is who I have. And I always check them out. USAA is another good one if you're in the military. That's another credit union. And just shop around. Not every lender is going to have the same rate. So you want to make sure that you're shopping around, doing your homework on that as well, because interest rate does make a difference in payments. All right, the next page. This is where I want to talk about the difference between renting and buying, because people say, oh, we need to buy because we're just throwing away all of our money on rent, and opposed to mortgage where you're paying it and it's going into principal. But I don't think people realize how much money goes into the principal versus the interest rate in the beginning. I think some people think that whole payment you put in your mortgage just goes to your principal or a large percentage of it. Or some people even think that half of your principal, half the payment is principal, half the payment is interest. That's not true either. So let's take a look. So in this amortization schedule calculator, which is basically just amortizing your debt, your loan that you are taking out to buy the house. So let's just say your mortgage amount is $300,000. It's like a $360,000 house. You put $60,000 down and you borrowed $300,000 for 30 years and you got a 4.5 interest rate. So the total principal you'll pay is the amount of the loan, $300,000. But look at how much interest is paid, $247,000. So what was the real price of the house? It was not $300,000. It was $547,220. And we talked about that last episode. I'm not gonna get into that in too much detail. If you want to think about that and talk about that and hear what I have to say about that, you can go look at the other last episode. All right, but this is what I wanted to get into, is your amortization table. Now, for that loan that we were just talking about, these are your payments. You make a $1,500 payment in April if you bought the house in March. $1,520.06. Look at the difference in principal versus interest. you only put $395 down in principal and the rest goes to interest. Now, interest is money that is not going to you into your principal. It's not building equity into your house. That is going to the lender. And you'll see as you make further and further payments, the principal gets higher and higher and the interest gets lower and lower. And the reason is because the balance is getting paid down and the interest is going against the balance. So really you're comparing your rent versus how much principal is getting paid off. And the 15-year loan makes you pay it off faster. The more of that monthly payment is going to the principal than the interest. But the 30-year, the more interest is going than the principal in the beginning. And then as you can see, it balances out. So that's just something to keep in mind as well, and to take a look at that and remember what the true cost of your house is. Another thing I want us to take a look at, and this is really great, it's Redfin. I love this chart. So when is the right time to buy? And there are a bunch of different charts that you can go around and play in. Again, this is going to be in the show notes, so check it out. There's the median sales price of a house. Now, the first thing I want you to do is, never look at the national home prices. That is, when you look at national data for home pricing, that's fun for economics, that's fun for political debate, but it's not going to be helpful for you and what you want to know about your home and if it's a good time to buy. So let's just pretend we want to buy in California. I'm never going to go back to California. I left California, good riddance, I'm never coming back. But you want to be as specific as you can when knowing when is the right time to buy a house. You can select region here. I'm just going to leave it national, metro area, region. Now this is, again, you want to get to as detailed as possible. There's a lot of suburbs and all that good stuff. Let's just leave it as is because we're running out of time. And now you can see how much home prices have gone up. And look, there was a dip. Now, I don't think we're going to be dipping off back in the 2008 numbers, so this might be a good time to buy based on the median sales price in LA. Another graph I want you to take a look at is inventory. The more homes that are for sale, the stronger the buyer's position is, the weaker the seller's position is, because there's so many houses on the market, the seller has to have a competitive price. When there's less homes for sale, that means that the seller is going to have the ability to raise prices because there's going to be more demand for that supply, the limited supply. There's going to be less choices for the buyer to choose from. So that's another thing to look for, knowing when the right time to buy is. Again, it's not at the peak as it used to be. And then days on the market could be also a good one too. And this one will indicate how many days the average house is on the market. So you can play around. There's a bunch of different charts you can take a look at there. All right, now this is the one where I just want to mention again, I think I showed you this one the last episode, but just quickly, put in your income, put in how much money you pay a month, put in your down payment, and put in the interest rate that you're gonna get. Make sure you think about property tax, your homeowner's insurance, HOAs if it's due, and this is the PMI. If you can't put down the 20%, you're gonna have to pay this, the private mortgage insurance. And then this will tell you the house price that you can afford. And this is just a good ballpark. This isn't everything, but this will give you a good guess of what you can afford. Do not push it. Do not go above your means. And the last thing I wanted to take a look at is, I was just looking at houses, and again, this is in California. I'm never going to live here again, but this was an area I was kind of familiar with. And one of the things that I think would be wise for you to do is to not just look at the price of a house, but be looking at the price a square foot, especially when you're comparing comps, again, the comparable properties that are similar, and seeing how much they're charging price per square foot. Because a property can be a lot more money, but it could be also like 10 times the land. It can also be a lot larger. So you wanna be making sure that this is in line, the price per square foot of other properties in the area. You don't want to get ripped off in that. The other thing that I love to do is first, let's just look at this house. This house is pretty. This is a nice house. I love those beams. I love those beams. So I look around the house and I notice like it's nice. It's not run down. And I look for new things. And then also you can look in the description where it says like, oh, just redone roof, or we just redid the bathrooms. And I'm not reading through this list because we don't have time, but look for those kinds of things. And then you go down to, and this is Zillow again, they're great. I like looking at the price history and seeing like, okay, in 2003, it looks like this was just a lot sold, which kind of makes sense because this area is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And then they built the house and they thought they could get $1.995 million. But they removed the listing because no one was going to pay that. That's a crazy amount of money for a place out in the wilderness. And then they listed it for sale for 17% less. And then they removed it again because they couldn't sell it. Then they listed it for sale 45% less. And then they removed it. And then they sold it for $1.1 million a few years later after they removed it, or 1 year later after they removed it. And then now they listed it for sale for twice as much. And this tells you the story of the house. And it would be good for you to figure out that story and know why they're asking as much as they are. Is that a fair price based on how much they've changed, what they've added? And that will help you with negotiating. Again, if you've listened to our show about negotiating, the more information you have, the more leverage you'll have, the better you will have in that negotiation, better you'll come out in that negotiation. And when you're talking about a very expensive property like this one, that could be a lot of money that you could be spending. You want to be good stewards. You don't want to overpay for a house. So that's another thing I look at. I hope that helps. If you have any more questions about your home buying experience or what you should do, when you should buy, besides this stuff or what we've covered, please let me know. I'd be more than happy to ask. Now I'm going to go and answer some emails about this that really triggered this episode. And with that, we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.